Acts chapter 1, and we'll go to verse 8. Very familiar verse of Scripture, and probably a passage of Scripture that you would say, well, it's a missionary, amen, he's going to Acts 1:8, what's new? But there's something here that I do want to show you that the Lord showed me just about a year back. We were preaching a lot on the second coming, about the rapture of the church and such, and the Lord reminded me of something here, and I hope it's a blessing to you tonight. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And let's read verse 9 and 10. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" As we get to the Scripture here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we have what we've labeled as the Great Commission. And I believe that biblically that is the mission of the church, amen? I think it's been said by multiple missionaries, multiple men, that God's last command ought to be our greatest burden, our greatest desire to accomplish. And so when we get to this passage of Scripture here, we see something that was commanded to the disciples. And I don't think it was an option, amen? He said, go and do this and make disciples and teach others. And he said, don't just do it to your own crowd, amen. Go to your county, go to your state, go to other countries, and get the job done at the same time, amen. That word "both" there is a word used simultaneously that means do it at the same time, amen. And so we find that it is very important, crucial for the church not just to send missions and to help missionaries, but to also be a missionary to wherever you are. If it's at your workplace, at your school, it don't matter if it's a public school or a Christian school, amen. You ought to be a witness wherever you are. You say, "I'm a stay-at-home mom." Well, you can be a missionary to them kids, to those neighbors. And so wherever you are, you're not just supposed to write a check and give it to Faith Promise Given, but you're also supposed to be a witness and to whatever area that God has placed you, amen. And I think this church does pretty well at that. I don't know. I'm sure everybody in here is a soul winner, amen. I'm sure everybody in here is on fire, winning souls to the Lord, amen. And so we say this to say that it is something that we do simultaneously. It is a job that we are to do, not just foreign, not just country, but also in our own backyard, amen. And so we find a very familiar Scripture here, but it's amazing when the disciples receive this command. We find in Scripture that this command was fulfilled. Amen. Going through Scripture and comparing Scripture to Scripture, we find that the disciples did their job. Amen. I want to see that real quickly. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and then we'll also go to Colossians. Romans chapter 10 and verse 18. Romans chapter 10 and verse 18. The Bible says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." What was their words? Well, I believe we see that in verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Their words were not their words, as to say man's words or man's opinions or man's philosophies, but the word that the world heard was the word of God. It was the gospel that is preached here in Acts. It is preached to all of the world by the disciples, amen. Not just there, but real quickly, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, "And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have preached, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You've heard it said that every preacher needs a creature, and that was accomplished, amen, by these great disciples. I'm glad these men of God, hey, listen, they weren't worried about going on Facebook and blowing out every new topic, amen. They weren't worried about going and trying to get everything, you know, make themselves public and all that. They were just concerned in one thing, and that was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this. You say, oh, that was to the disciples. Well, if you've been saved, you're a disciple. Amen? You are a disciple of Christ. And so we take this same command and we apply it to us. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Since we got back from the state or from Guatemala, we have noticed that things have drastically changed. Our home base is pretty much there in Chattanooga, Tennessee area. If you've not been to Chattanooga in the past couple of years like I have, then you went down there, you would say, man, this place has changed. You could probably say the same as y'all are mentioning there about the laws and things. Things are changing, and they're changing rapidly. But the gospel will never change. And if we're going to have a trumpet, if we're going to have a banner, I guess that should be the good word, if we're going to have a banner, listen, it needs to be the gospel, amen? It needs to be, but somewhere, I don't know, maybe it was in the 60s, please forgive me, please don't hang me by my head tonight, but somewhere down the line, we got more interested in preferences than preaching the gospel. Amen. I listen, you say, well, you're only 33, and you're exactly right. But I've heard tapes, and I've heard CDs. And listen, I'm all for the hard preaching. Hey, listen, there is no preaching, hey, that was done back then, hey, that I hadn't heard now. If you know my pastor, you know where he stands. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, I believe somewhere, though, we became experts at preaching preferences and didn't preach the gospel. 8 billion people are living on this earth today. That blew my mind. It was just a couple months ago that we crossed that mark. It was incredible. I'm thinking, wow, 8 billion, we're there. Wow. I mean, no telling here in the next couple years. It wouldn't surprise me if we crossed over to 10 billion. I don't know. This world is growing. People are changing. And people are dying without the gospel. People are dying without God, and it seems that it's so silly. Listen, I did about a five month Facebook fast. Amen. I don't want to call it a fast. I just got off of there. Amen. Best 5 months of my life. Amen. I got on there for one day, and everybody was blowing out this whole, I don't even remember how you call the name, some revival that was taking place up at a school there in Kentucky. I don't even remember the name of the place. And everybody was just blowing it out and letting them have it. And, I mean, just going to town on it. And I was like, is this really like, I mean, you say, I was a part, well, I don't know. I mean, if you was a part of that, that's between you and God. But I thought to myself, I wonder how much of this is getting the gospel out. That we have some friends that went up to that area and went outside and were handing out gospel tracts, and one of them was asked to leave. I mean, that's a great revival, but I mean, you know, it's just the thought that people, and I mean, Facebook, I told my wife, I said, I'm so glad that I gave away my self-proclaimed title as Facebook pastor years ago. Amen. I don't have time for it. We don't have time for it. God has commanded the church to get the gospel to the world. And this group of men got the job done. I'm sure there wasn't 8 billion people on the planet there in their time. But they also didn't have cars. They also didn't have airplanes. They also didn't have all the technology that we have today, but yet they reached them. Something's wrong. We got a lot to answer for, church. Amen. And so we look at that, but I want to see something very quickly, and we'll be done. And there was almost something that got in their way. Almost. These men had been walking with Jesus hand in hand. They had watched Him perform miracle after miracle, some miracles that we don't even know about. They're watching their best friend take flight. He's already told them it was going to happen. Amen. I mean, He already told them, I'm going to be gone. But I'll be back. Don't worry, but I'm going to leave. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 9, is where we see His ascension to heaven. I'm not going to lie. That had to be one of the most glorious scenes throughout all the days of the Bible. Amen. To watch the Savior leave after serving and living and doing all that He did and dying and rising again and all those things. I mean, just to think about Him taking flight. It's beautiful. But here we see that there was a cloud that received Him. I believe as you can see it when an airplane takes off and you begin to watch that airplane. And I remember my in-laws and my mother saying when we left for Guatemala the first time, I remember them saying that we watched your plane till it was out of sight. Just gazing, watching till it was gone. These men here, we find them gazing, standing there watching. He's gone. Amen. He's coming back, but in that moment, He wasn't coming back. He was gone. And there they are standing there gazing, watching, gazing. The word, I looked it up, it is a word that means to be in a concentration and to be focused and to have all of your attention given to that one thing. And that's what these men were doing. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves gazing on things all on the job goes undone. These disciples are standing there. The Lord's done told them. Literally two verses later, they're disobeying the Scripture. Amen. I mean, he tells them to go and to be witnesses. And then they say there in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. What are you doing? You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? What are you doing? He's already told you to go. Why are you standing and gazing? And church, I think today, hey listen, there may not be two men falling down from heaven at this evening, but can I please help us tonight and to say, listen, maybe we need to be reminded, hey, that we're just passing through and gazing a lot of times. A lot of times in our life, I'm just ready for the Lord to come. And, you know, all these things are going on and the world's getting worse and worse. And, you know, I'm just ready to go home. Oh, beautiful land. I just want to see her. And we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We begin to think, oh, I want to be there. Listen, I'm looking forward to heaven. Paul was looking forward to heaven. He even received a crown for waiting on that day. I'm not saying don't be excited. Don't be anticipating that day. I am saying don't just stand around gazing. He will come. He's going to come, thank God. He's going to get us out of here. But we ain't supposed to just be standing around waiting. Tonight, there's many things that could have your attention. It could be the family, the friends that you have that you're gazing upon. And because of those family and friends, you cannot do the job that God has asked of us. It may be the political realm of our war. Listen, if I know anything, watching politics over the past couple of years, our nation is in a mess. It has been said tonight. You know that. There's no sense of even coming here tonight with a political message. We all know where our country is. If we're not careful, before them votes are ever cast next year, Jesus will come and catch us gazing. Well, I wonder if Trump's going to run. Who cares? Listen, please don't take me. But it's broke my heart. Because I used to be that one that, and I still do get mad. Somebody disrespecting our flag, it bothers me. Somebody disrespecting our police officers, whether it's their brother here tonight, that bothers me. But here's where the Lord convicted me. And I don't know, maybe the Lord's done the same for you. It's when I begin to get more upset over those things than I do over the eternal things. I catch myself angry and just frustrated and ready to go out the streets with a Confederate flag and, wow, you know, I mean, just let her rip. At the same time, is that really what we're called here to do? I say this, and I say it carefully. When we got saved, we lost our citizenship to this earth. We're now citizens of heaven. And I don't know about you, but I want somebody to go with me. And when I can get more upset over these earthly, I'm not saying not get upset over. Listen, be angry and sin not. We're commanded to be angry over things. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when those things bother us more, that tells us where we're at. That tells us why there is 8 billion people and why the majority of them have never heard a presentation of the gospel. It's coming over here from Pigeon Forge, and I don't know what road old Google took us on, but it was curvy. And I mean, I know where we're at. I know there ain't a straight road over here, but I mean, there wasn't no guardrail. And listen, I told my wife, I said, this is straight up Quiche right here, man. This is like, I mean, this is my life every day. But when you're in Tennessee and people running 60 miles around them turns, I mean, I was driving, we was just coasting right along. We passing house after house. And it used to be. Our area is not Baptist churches. We passed 3 or 4 missionary Baptist churches. Parking lot's empty. Passed by this Jehovah's Witness alone, whatever you want, I don't even know what it's called in English. Passed by there, about 15 cars in the parking lot. I saw more cars in that parking lot than I did those 3 missionary Baptist churches. You know why? Because we're losing them. You know where the Jehovah's Witnesses are the majority of their days? People know they're Jehovah's Witness. How they dress, how they act. I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses are good moral people. Amen. It's going to be hard to get one sideways. If you take old Baptist, you cross this property line. Amen. Friend, what are you gazing on tonight? These disciples were reminded, what are you doing? And like what it says here, in verse 12, these first 2 words, or first 4 words, 5 words, I don't know. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. They said, you know what? He's right. They're right. We've got to get about our Father's business. We ain't got long. We ain't got much time. I mean, they had just saw him come. I don't know if the disciples were thinking, man, we only got about an hour. I mean, I don't know if they thought, man, he's just going to eat and coming back. I mean, I don't know what they thought. But they thought, he's coming back. And I think it was because they had seen him fulfill every prophecy, every word that he had said. They had seen him with their eyes say, I'm going to do this, and he would do it. And they were confident. They knew it was going to happen. They knew they could reach this world with the gospel. They knew they could do it because they weren't doing it alone. They were doing it with the Holy Spirit. Church, we try to win this world alone. We'll never get it done. But we've got one that'll help us. That'll use us. Oh, wicked, vile sinners. He just wants to take this gospel. Hey, can I just tell you about my Savior? Can I just ask you this evening, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Hey, can I just ask you, simple, you go to church anywhere? Brother Ruckman, he don't know this, but he's probably helped me more than any missionary. And we was talking one day on polo, and he was sharing some advice on how to talk to people about the Lord. It helped me. Took that same philosophy and we used it, and we've seen multiple people saved. Because sometimes somebody just needs a question. The person you work with that sees you, they know you go to church, they know you're a Christian, you dress right, you live right, everything right in front of them. They know that you love Jesus. But what they're waiting on is this. Hey, can I share something with you? Hey, can I just take a minute and just share a verse that the Lord showed me this morning? And that's most likely, if you're living in front of them, that's all they're waiting for. Somebody ask them this evening, what are you gazing on? Be careful not to gaze upon the things of this world. Be careful not to gaze so much upon His return and the things that we have over there that we forget that we have a job here. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for this church. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that we have to carry the gospel. Oh, Lord, no greater task that we could ever have. And thank You, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to do that. Lord, I don't know who's here tonight. Lord, I don't know any situation, circumstances here tonight, Lord. But God, You do. Only You can take the Word of God. Only You can take the message, Lord, and speak to hearts. Only You can do that. Lord, we ask that You do the work tonight, Lord. We love You. We thank You for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen.